Parshas Vayetze begins with Yaakov leaving from Be'er Shova and going to Haran. That's how the parsha begins. That's interesting because in the end of last week's parsha, if you just turn back a page, you'll see that in Pasuk Zayin, it's very previous on page 142, a couple things happen. Actually, go back to Pasuk Hey. Okay, if you look at Shvi, Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov, Vayelech Padena Aram, Elavan ben Besuel, Arami Achiru, Kaim Yaakov Esav. Okay, so what do we know about Lavan there? That he is ben Besuel, and he's the brother of Rivka. Vayar Esav, then there's a little interval, and Esav realizes that it's not a good idea to marry the daughters of Canaan. Pasuk Zayin, Vayishma Yaakov Elaviv Elimo, Vayelech Padena Aram. What's going on? Twice he goes to Padena Aram. Okay, so this is kind of the source for the idea that Yaakov actually went, because he was told to marry one of Lavan's daughters. Where does he go there? He goes and finds that Lavan's daughters either don't exist, or they're too young. And so he leaves. Because if you do the math, Yaakov is 63 at the time of the Brachos, and he's 77 when he shows up. There's enough evidence in the Torah.
14 years?
You're right. So that's why Chazal say Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, whatever that means. But the idea here, you see that Yaakov goes twice. And then, again, in our parsha, Vayetze Yaakov Me'er Shava Yelech Charana. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about Yaakov going and Yaakov's travels, etc. But if you look carefully in the pasuk, you're going to find what Nechama Leibowitz calls the Mila Mancha, okay? So something happens, and he has his thing, and he lays down, he goes to sleep. And he has a dream. There's a ladder. And there's angels. And God is there. And then the rest is God talking to him until he wakes up. Okay? So what's the Mila Mancha? What's the word that appears over and over again in all that I read? Forget about what follows afterwards.
Vayelech?
Nope.
No?
No, that's it. Vayelech, I just was just showing that to you, but okay. But I'm saying in Parshas Vayetze, there's a word. Mila Mancha means a recurring word. Okay, look in Psukim Yud Beis and Yud Yom. You'll see it's Vihine. Vihine Sulam. Vihine Malachel Kim. Vihine Hashem Nitzavolav. Okay? What does Vihine mean? And behold. So look at the Archaim. He says that the first comment that I gave you there. Okay, Tam Omro Vihine. Okay, I don't want to read through all of it, but because there's a lot we have to get through tonight. But look at the last two lines. He says, Riyas Asalom Amar Vihine Sulam. Riyas Amalachim Amar Vihine Malachim. Gabagilu Shechina Amar Vihine. Regarding the ladder, regarding the angels, regarding God, it says Vihine. Hakavano Benek Bazek Yoysa Nevu Amamish. He says, what the Vihine is showing us is that this is not just a dream. I guess there's something big going on over here. And what's going on is that this is a prophecy. Okay, so that's important to understand. Now, remember, that when we're introduced to Moshe, one of the things we see about Moshe, ponim el ponim, right? That Moshe speaks to God face to face. Everybody else, they get a prophecy while they're sleeping. Now, there's a difference. Yosef's dream, for example, is called a dream. I don't know how much it's ever really viewed as a prophecy. Whereas here, it does say vayachalom, but at the same time, the Or HaChaim is saying that the hint in the text is showing us this is actually a nevuah. Okay, and there's a difference between them. I mean, just as an example, Paro has a dream. He's told something in the future, but it's a dream. It comes to dream form. He doesn't know what it means. Even Yosef has a dream. He doesn't exactly know what it means. He has an idea. The Saramashkim and the Sarofim, the two officers of Paro, in Parshas, at the end of Parshas, Vayeshev, right? They have dreams. They foresee something, but it's not a prophecy. And that's the distinction. This is a prophecy. That's the point that the Or HaChaim is making.
What's the difference between foreseeing something?
Because in a dream, there's something strange. There's something strange, and you have to kind of piece together what you have to interpret it. Right, exactly. Whereas
in
a prophecy is
Hashem is,
you know,
giving them.
Right, there's something going on here. But it's not just that. There's something amazing, and actually we're going to skip to the very end of the Parsha about I want you to see the last comment that the Or HaChaim makes on the Parsha, so we'll skip to that in a second, but I just want to go through the rest of this page. So if you look at, we're not going to read through this whole thing, but let's look at the first line of the next thing. So one of the things that God tells Yaakov, so there's a few things you have to notice. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, Yud Kei Vav Kei is standing, whatever, hovering above him, and he says, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha, Elokei Yitzchak, and I'm the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak. Hey, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the name of God which appears here. And then, when Yaakov wakes up, page 146, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishin Naso, I just turned the page in the Chumash, Yaakov wakes up and he says, Hachein Yesh Hashem, Ramakom has said, Yud Kei Vav Kei is in this place, and I did not know, Vizesh Ha'ar Shemayim, etc. And then, Pasuk Chaf, Yaakov says, Vaydar Yaakov Neder Lemor, Im Ye Elohim Imadi. Right, he switches from Yud Kei Vav Kei to Elohim. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vishavti Vishalom Al Beis Aviva, Ya Hashem Li Le'elokim. V'yavan Azos Asher Samti Matzeva, Ye Beis Elohim. So I don't want to get lost in trying to figure out why Yaakov was switching back between the different names of God. Suffice it to say that there's what to be seen here and what to be taken here. But the in terms of what Yaakov's experience is. But take a look at the very first line in the Arachaim. God promises that the families of the world will be blessed through you. He says that what's being hinted to here in Yaakov's in the opening psukah in the parsha, is the story of the human being. Okay, so I highlighted for you the part which is a quote from the pasuk. If you just follow the bold, he skips a little bit. I just went through the part which I put in bold in pasuk Yudalit. And if you just skip from thing to thing, I underlined it in my own notes, but I'll tell you. That's the soul when it goes out from the upper world to this world. Yaakov is Yetzer Hara Karach Bikavav. Why is he named Yaakov? Because the Yetzer Hara follows in the heels of the soul. Be'er Sheva, Mimenu Yatzu Anashamos Yikra Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Be'er Sheva, that's the wellspring of souls, is hinted to. Sheva, Shvuas Hashem Asher Tishba Nefesh B'tzeisa. It's a swear that the soul takes when it leaves to follow the ways of the Torah. Vayelech Harana is I'm just skipping from point to point. Vayelech Harana is Yikanes Yetzer Hara Yikanes Ba'adam B'tzeisa Me'rechem Imo, that the Yetzer Hara accompanies when the person leaves the womb. Vayifgaba Makom, that what does it mean to have an encounter with Makom? Makom sometimes means God, that a person needs to pray to God. Tzarech Adam L'spalel Hashem. Vayalon Shem Kibah Hashemesh, this is how a person needs to conduct himself, to have that relationship with God, Ad Lechto Me'el Mazeh K'sheyariv Shemsho, until his son, his personal son sets, in other words, when his life ends. Vayikach Me'evnei Makom, skip to the end of the line, Yargiz Adam Yetzer Atov, that a person is supposed to take the stones, these are like the tools with which a person is supposed to conduct himself, the Yetzer HaTov, and if a person can't connect with the Yetzer HaTov, then he should connect to Torah. And he goes along this line, okay, throwing what everything is. So this is, but it's fantastic. But you got to do your homework in reading through that. I don't want to get lost in it, but it's just a beautiful kind of message. Not mind-blowing, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay, and that's the point that I wanted to share with you. So you can read through that on your own, because it is a beautiful kind of message. If you, like, it's a great Dvar Torah. That's really what it is. It's a beautiful Dvar Torah. Okay, so now let's get into the nitty-gritty with Yaakov and his experience. Okay? So Yaakov makes a vow in Pasuk Chaf, Vayidar Yaakov Neder. Okay, and the idea of a vow is that Yaakov says it, and the Or HaChaim says, why? Because Perish Hotzei Neder B'Sfasok, Zulazet Neder B'Levein Neder. If you make a vow in your heart, it's nothing. You have to actually say the vow. You have to articulate it with your mouth. And then he says, Im Yeh. Now, this is the big question. We've talked about this in the last 2 years in this Parsha, about is Yaakov making a condition? Is Yaakov, and if so, where does the condition end? I don't want to get lost in that, but the question is, Im Yeh. When Yaakov says, Im Yeh, I think last year we saw Omnam. Im was Omnam. That was the Aksava Kabbalah. He says, you know, it is. You know, it was just. Well, I don't remember what's a good translation for the word Omnam. I believe that was his viewpoint. But he says Im tisparesh al derech ma. Okay, in other words, that the Im doesn't mean if; it means what. Right, im kofer yushas alav, im kesef talvel mi. Sheina safek alavadai, yukilim amara kasher yezeh. He's saying that when this takes place, when this takes place, when God is with me and he watches over me, and this is, it's just going to be a natural following. That God, v'ayah Hashem li lokim, then Hashem is my God, I'll return home, v'ayah Hashem li lokim, etc. And I'll make this into a, so that's the first part. Od yirtzeh alzeh derech, again I'm on page 2, third or fourth paragraph. In taskimi das hadin ala davar, v'umro im yiyeh elokim, ki lo diber lov elo midas harachim, v'yusev v'yinei Hashem yitzeh lov. So what the Aruch Chaim is pointing out here, is that Yaakov is making a confluence of both the Midas Hadin, the Elokim, like I pointed out before, and the Midas Harachim. Hine anochi imach, v'davar yadua, ki Midas Harachim taskim lehativ, lehativ, u'midas hadin te'akeh b'davar zeh, b'davar zeh amar im yeh Elokim. So in other words, what's going to support him? The Midas Harachim, the attribute of God's mercy. What's going to be a little bit of a hinge in Yaakov's experience? Midas Hadin. And so this is why Yaakov invokes, he says, if God will be with me, in other words, if Midas Hadin will be with me, not again, not if, but when Midas Hadin is with me, in other words, if justice is on my side, because I'm about to have an experience that I can't anticipate. What's that experience? He's going to be working with Lavan Ha'arami. Lavan Ha'arami, switch around the letters, everybody says this. Lavan Haramai, Lavan the trickster. So he's saying, when things work out, and Midas Hadin, justice is on my side, then Hayashem Lilokim, then it all comes together. Okay, so that's one point. And the next point is in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, where he says, Hanachonhu. All right, he asks the question. The Arata Eino Lilokim Chas V'Shalom. He says, Yaakov says, Vayashem Lilokim. So God essentially will be Elokim to me. Until now, he's not Elohim, so skip to the part which is in bold. That Yaakov will also be known, or God will also be known as Elokei, just as up until now he's been Elokei Abraham and Elokei Yitzchak. Gam Yomar Alav Elokei Yaakov.
So it's nothing to do with din in this case.
It's no, right. Correct. It's a connection. It's a relationship, right? Perish li bi yichud, right? That's one of the interpretations that we give for why we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Oseinu, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why don't we just say, Elokei Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov? Because Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov each had their own relationship with God. Each on their own, I don't want to say level, each on their own, you know, based on their own personality, whatever it may be. So, but the point is that Yaakov will get his own merit in that sense. Okay, Avraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. V'davar gadol diber Yaakov is there. V'tim sechekenu. And so Yaakov was actually saying something really big here. V'yikra lo el Elohei Yisrael, v'achkach shilem nidro, asher nadal asos evan azos. So in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Chaf, it's right before the story of Shechem. Is that, because Shechem is in Perek Lamed Dalet. So that is, I don't remember what that is. Because that's not, it's Beit El, I think, is after Shechem, if I'm not mistaken. So, let me see.
Yeah, Lamed Dalet is the Shechem story.
Right. You know, I'm just looking at the Pasuk, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Chaf. Right, no, that's when he moved there, and he built a Mizbeach. V'yasev Shem Mizbeach, v'yikra lo El Elohei Yisrael. Okay, in other words, he's the God of Israel. Who's Israel? Israel is Yaakov. This is shortly after Yaakov got the name change. And so that is what Yaakov essentially achieves when he builds the Mizbeach in or near Shechem. Okay, so essentially what we've seen here is that there's this confluence between the way Yaakov relates to God as Elohim and the way Yaakov relates to God as Yudkei Vavkei. And it comes together in the way that through the I don't want to say the dream, but through the prophecy that Yaakov has, and through the commitment that Yaakov makes, not if it happens, but when it happens, as it's going to happen, then that is where how Yaakov is going to not finalize, I don't want to say formalize, but going to complete essentially his formal relationship with God to the point that everything will have worked out on the one hand, and B, I'll be back in this place, in this land, that, because remember, that's the whole point. V'shavti b'shalom el beis avi. So that's why some people say that in that pasuk that we just saw, it says, Vayavo Yaakov shalem ir Shechem. That Yaakov comes to Shalem. What is Shalem? Some say Shalem means the name of a city near Shechem, right? Makitzedek Melech Shalem, again, not that it's the same Shalem,
right. Okay,
but that Shalem is the name of a place, okay? And on the other hand, Shalem could mean whole, right? Shavti b'shalom, right? Shalom, we often translate it to mean peace, but Shalom really comes from the word Shalem, Shlemus. I mean, when you're complete and when you're whole, you're at peace. So that's why they're related.
He's translating it as to pay back. Or complete his neder.
Complete the neder. V'shavti b'shalom. Basically, when I'm complete, and v'haya Hashem Elokim, then I'm going to make a matzeva. And that's where he makes the matzeva, when he is shalem. Okay, so is your mind blown? All right, if your mind is blown, then good. Okay, all right. So Yaakov continues on his way. Now we're going to move on in our parsha view. To Yaakov's experience when he gets to Haran, okay. And by the way, that's a whole other question, okay. I have never been clear on this, and I don't know. Avram starts in Aram, right, which we call Aram Naharaim, right, and then he goes to Haran, but Yaakov goes to Paddan Aram. So I'm not really sure what's Aram Naharaim, what's Paddan Aram, or what's Haran. Okay, so we'll leave that for now. I'm just going to throw that out there. Anyway, but here he is. He's in Haran. Okay, he meets a bunch of shepherds at the well, and he asks them some questions. It's kind of weird, you know, in terms of the conversation. But if you look, let's start a pasuk dalet. Vayomer lehem Yaakov. So first, the Torah tells us why a bunch of shepherds are waiting at this well with the stone on top. And so we know the story. Yaakov doesn't know yet. But Yomer Lahem Yaakov. Yaakov says to them, "Achai, my brothers, mayayin at them. Where are you from?" And they say, "Mecharon anachnu." We're from Charon. Two words. Yomer Lahem Hayidatem es Lavan ben Achor. Do you know Lavan? And they say, "Yadanu." One word. Okay. Yomer Lahem Hayidat. I'm sorry. Hashalom lo. And he said to them, "Is there peace to him?" Or whatever shalom means. We just saw different definitions of shalom. Yomeru shalom. It was like, what does shalom mean? Shalom, get lost, buddy? I mean, what does shalom mean? Goodbye? Does it mean, right. And if it's, hey, does he have peace in his home? You might want to say, yeah, shalom beveto, or something like that, right? They should answer the question, but they just say, shalom. V'hinei, Rachel bito ba'a im hatzon. Now, are they saying that? It seems that they're saying that. I wonder, because it could be that the Torah's narrative is kicking in and saying, oh, and we who are watching this should see, oh, by the way, Rachel is showing up. By Yomer, Yaakov says to them, "Heinod ayom gadol." He says it's a little too early for you guys, or whatever. I mean, just give your sheep water. And they say, "No, we can't do it until everybody gathers, and then we can take the stone off." And the story is familiar to us. I think that Yaakov rolls off the thing. Okay, he rolls the stone off, and he gives the water to the sheep that Rachel comes with. And actually, you know what? Let's do one more pasuk. Two more pasukim actually. Pasuk tes odena medaberi mum. He's still speaking with them. Rachel ba'al imatzona shelavi akiro ahi. So she's coming with her father's sheep because she is a shepherdess. Okay, so is she coming with all of her father's sheep? Is she coming with some of her father's sheep? Is she the only shepherd for her father? Anyway, vayhi kasher ra'a Yaakov es Rachel bas lavan achi imo bas lavan achi imo. Note that phrase. Okay, you have Lavan achi imo. So he sees Rachel, who's the daughter of Lavan, his mother's brother. And the sheep of Lavan, his mother's brother, and he goes ahead and he rolls up the stone from the well and he gives to drink the sheep of Lavan, his mother's brother. Okay? And then he Vayishak Yaakov the Rachel. So he kisses her and he cries. Okay, so let's now turn to the Or HaChaim, who gives us a few interpretations of all the things which we just saw. Okay, so the first thing which he's going to ask is, what's going on here with this question? Hashalom lo. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right, they should have said, Tam shalom amru shalom. I'm in the middle of page 2, after the chapter break. Tam shalom amru shalom lo kilushon ha-shela. They should have, and he said, Hashalom lo, they should have said, Shalom lo, of course. Leo she'eshma ma'ashma uz debra Yaakov eiz dvar. There are two things that Yaakov is really asking. Okay? One of them is, Shalom begufo mimono. Number one, is he financially okay and is he healthy? And the second one is, Imheim shleimim imo. Are you guys at peace with him, essentially? I don't mean at peace like, you know, is there? Are you not warring, but like, do you like the guy? Okay, that's what it means, shalim. Uperish barav, ha-shalom atem ilav. Do you guys get along? They're a little smart, right? They said, yamru, shalom. Uperish, l'chol ma'ashat ha-shoel, shalom. Whatever you say, it's all good. Okay? The Tam Amram v'hinei Rachel. So, because you know, you could ask a real question. Yaakov says Hashalom lo. They say Shalom. Oh, by the way, here's Rachel. He didn't even ask. Where did that even come from? So they say v'hinei Rachel tshuva l'mashalosha. They're giving an answer to what he didn't ask. They don't want to ask too many questions. Amru inei Rachel b'tov l'atishal. Look who's coming. It's his daughter. Why don't you ask her all the questions? Odi chavnu l'mar, k'detzad shlomo yimahem, shushalech bas k'tana. So they're also showing that maybe people do get along with him because he's sending his little daughter with the sheep. Mashalo ya b'yisro. Yisro didn't do that. Yisro sent seven daughters. And nevertheless, Yisro's daughters were harassed. Clearly, they're saying, we're not touching Lavan's daughter. Everything's good. It's all good here. We all behave like mentioned. Another one. Odin's kabbalah lama shalom. Perish lama lamashin ogeh legufo lamatzavoy mono shalom. Right, regarding his body and regarding his situation, it's all peaceful. Uchdei shelo yavin shiritzonom lomar ki shelo yavin. So in other words, that he should not understand that what they're trying to say is ki huba osher v'un chasim, that he is wealthy. They didn't want him to get that impression. Gamru. They finished and said, "V'hinei Rachel." Okay, umi motzad davar. They said, "Here's Rachel." Umi motzad davar. Yada ki lo amid b'nechasim, who ki tzarach lebeis lebitel deros. That he right. He is not his property situation is not so great because he needs his daughter to be a shepherd. V'gam shemesapek es bas achas deros tonok yimatem. Right, one of his daughters is enough because to take care of his sheep, to take care of all of sheep, because he didn't have land. They were very careful. They didn't want to say anything. They didn't want to say anything extra to possibly be viewed as liars. Or they were concerned that Lavan may come over to them and say, "Why did you guys say that I was wealthy?" So maybe they, you know, based on this verse in Mishlei, which is always, you know, just a teaching, that they didn't want this Yaakov guy who seemed to be looking to, you know, cling to Lavan, to start thinking that this is a good place for him to hang out. You know? Okay, so they're basically CYA, if you know what I mean. Okay. Oh, Efshar, another one is Shekavan Asam Lo Diel Yaakov Ki Lavan Ki Li Umamono Muzal Zav Yatzmo. So maybe it's the opposite, right? That he's cheap, and that's why he has his daughter be the shepherd. But he really isn't hard at luck. All right, now look in the next pasuk again. Continuing in the Or Chaim. Okay, where are we up to? Page 3. Okay, Matzana Shelavia. So just I don't want to do this inside, but all of this stuff is just proof to the viewpoint from before that suggests that he may have not been doing well, okay, and that Rachel was therefore, you know, taking care of his sheep. So it shows on the one hand that people left him alone, but on the other hand that he either was very cheap or that he was not that he had nothing going on. In terms of major wealth, and we see, by the way, this is true because that's probably very true because when Yaakov does show up and he starts working for Lavan, we see that things are become very good for Lavan pretty quickly.
Yes, sons too, right?
Right. So that's an interesting question as to whether Lavan had sons at this point in time. When does he have sons? 14 years.
Jesus.
14 years from now. Okay, in other words, after Yaakov has worked, I'm sorry, not even 14, 20 years. After he's worked for both of them, and then he starts working, and then he basically has taken, he's become very wealthy, then Lavan's sons chime in and say, Yaakov has taken everything from our father.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
But you're talking about sons at that point that may have been like 6 years old?
No, it's 20 years from now. It's after Lavan has worked.
Did he have sons immediately, or only after?
No. From the time that Yaakov shows up until those sons show up on the scene, is 20 years have passed.
Okay, so the sons were born almost immediately upon
Yaakov. Assuming that, let's assume for a second, he didn't have sons at this point in time.
Okay.
He may have. They may have been smaller than Rachel, younger than Rachel. I don't know.
But if they were older, you would have thought that they would be...
Correct. Right. That's my point. That's the only point that I'm trying to make.
Okay.
Right, so there is, you know, there. I'm not going to say it's Yaakov's merit that Laban had sons, but it would seem that after Yaakov arrived, Laban had sons. So I'm not I'm not going to make causality. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we saw that it said three times. You know, Laban achi imo. So let's take a look. Pasuk Yud. Vayhi kasher. Okay. So tam amro shlosha pamim achi imo lelo tzorech. Right, we know who Laban is. So why is the Torah telling us so many times that this is his mother's brother? So some of it is because Laban is his mother's brother, and some of it is because it's an honor to his mother. So because people will be suspicious. Who's this creepy guy? He's helping this girl out. He doesn't know from anything. So he says, no, she's my cousin. She's my cousin. So Rachel Amar Bas Lavan Achimo. Oh, you're the daughter of Lavan, the my mother's brother. Hatzon Shel Lavan. Oh, the sheep is my uncle's sheep. Uva Eis Hashka Gamkein. Shebzei Sir Melov Chashad Davar. So he just wants to be clean. Everybody should understand. Oh, he's a relative. It's all good. Yud Beis Vayaged Yaakov Perishigil Beis Bchinos Akur Vashayul Rachel. So he when Yaakov spoke to Rachel. Remember the pasuk. Vayaged Yaakov to Rachel, ki achi avi ahu, v'chi ben rivkahu. Okay, so he's really telling her two things. One, that he's her father's brother. Not literally a brother, but that they're kinsmen, right? And that he's the son of Rivka. Okay? Aleph kur vasaguf, v'hom roki achi avi ahu. One is that they are relatives. But in the physical sense, okay, that I am your father's brother. He says, look, my mother is an amazing lady, and you're probably an amazing lady, or whatever it is, Rachel. So Yaakov was basically, when he saw Rachel, he saw his mother. Remember, when was Rivka discovered, so to speak? Right? At the well. Not doing something else. She was drawing water. Rachel was also coming to the well to get water, but to get water for her sheep. Rivka ended up getting water for different animals, right? Eliezer's camels. So I mean, there's a parallel there. Okay? But there's more to it. Odirmos, Alderacham Ramzal, Shamra Lo Avia Ramai, she says to him that her father's a trickster. The way she kiechivu bramos, he says, I know how to deal with tricksters. Okay? Kfizeh Chashiaka Kitamar Loganayu, Hadavar, she's Nahik Tzadakim Rosh, Kirisha So, Zamar Vachiben Ruko. So if she might look at him and say, You're slick willy like my brother, like my father? No. Then he says, No. Yeah, if I need to deal with him that way, then I can. However, I'm Ben Rivka. I'm the son of Rivka. I'm going to follow the ways of justice, righteousness, truth. And to just basically defeat him with his own rules.
Look at the reference point.
What?
A reference point that you like.
What? What do you mean?
I'm saying, are you like my father?
Right, exactly. Oh, you know, I said before I was going to go to the thing at the end. All right, we'll make sure to do it at the end. I just realized that I didn't do it. Okay, all right.
Okay.
Let's move on. So, Yud Gimel, Vayihi. So, the only one thing that I just want to point out here, and I'm going to also just send you to a different pasuk, is pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Vayihi Kishmo Alavan. So, if you look at the first line, Omer Vayihi Lashon Tsar. Okay, what does it mean? That there, vayhi is a language which means pain or difficulty. And what? Yeah. No, that's a general rule that the rabbis say, and it appears in. So why is there a difficulty here? Because Laban had not so very nice intentions. That Laban's plan was Laban thought that Yaakov was coming with money, and Laban was when he saw that Yaakov had nothing, he thought that Yaakov's assets were going to follow him, and so that's why he let Yaakov stay with him for a month. Okay, so if you look actually, let's see, yeah, okay, so it's the bottom page 148. By Yaretz Likroso, by Chabeklo, by Nashiklo, by Eviel, by So. Right, Lavan. So remember, a couple weeks ago, we saw the Or HaChaim had a very nice thing to say about Lavan, who came out, right? Tzadik, the way he came out to protect his sister. So she comes out. So Rachel comes home. She tells her father everything. So he's like, okay, I've seen this before. So the guy, all right, he's a good guy. So nothing happened. All right, fine. But the last guy who came had all kinds of gifts that he gave to you. Rachel, nothing on you. So maybe the guy's hidden it. So that's why Lavan's coming
why
out. Right, that's why he's coming out.
He's going on Lavan.
So what?
It's going on Lavan. He was suffering because he... right?
No. That Lavan has a tzar ayin against Yaakov.
Oh,
okay. So then he says to him, "Vayomer lo Lavan achatzmi v'sariyata v'yishim ocharishimim." He says, "You're going to live with us for a month." So he lives with them for a month, and in that time, look at the next pasuk. Gidalid, Herak lo zman ulai yizgalav meshach hazman. Can you know? Right? Maybe Yaakov's stuff is going to show up. Right? You know. Elal lost the baggage, so may take a little bit of time. Okay, Chesharaki eitik basmamo birei aranagasoimo. So when he realized that Yaakov wasn't bringing money, then he had to change everything. Oh, the fishenas on ena bola ovdo helim einri menu shloshim yom, because he was going to make him work. He lost sight of him for 30 days. Ovdo b'hem chinam, and he worked for him for free. Then the Aruchem says, "I'm going to explain what he meant." He also wanted to see if Yaakov was good at what he was going to be doing. So that means that Yaakov actually was working with him for a month. So he's saying, "I should work for free. There should be some kind of financial arrangement or whatever arrangement." So that means that Yaakov wasn't sitting on his tuchus for a month. He was pitching in, right? Got to earn his keep. Okay. So we're setting up Yaakov's credentials essentially in Lavan's house. So of course Yaakov turns around and he says to Lavan. So we're given an introduction to Lavan's daughters in Pasuk Des Zayin. Ulavan shtei banos shemagdola Leah shemagtana Rachel. The big one is Leah. The small one is Rachel. You know what that means? The big one is Leah. Zafti. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but that's one view actually that he says here. And the Shem Aktana and the small one is Rachel. Okay, and Leah's eyes are Rakos and Rachel Haisa Yifas Torah Yifas Mer. They're fascinating interpretations of these psukim. So I'm not. I don't even want to go into them. The Archaim, you know, by and large, he is of the view that Leah is not presented here as being the most beautiful lady, whereas other commentaries have a different view.
Inner beauty.
Yeah, right. Big boned. Okay. Okay. So what he says here is, where are we? Pasuk.
Yud Zayin is what we want.
Okay.
To
say. No, we're up to page 4, right?
Same
on page 4.
Tetzayin,
top. Yeah, page 4. Okay, page 4. Okay. Lavan Shtebanos. Miskavin Agazel Amar you. Nikaros umefur samos. That people knew them, and it was well known. Shagdola hi Leah, the bigger one is Leah. Vaktani hi Rachel, the smaller one is Rachel. Shaloa yachalomar ki agdola hi akrua Rachel. Remember that one of the concerns when Yaakov says to her, "I'm going to work with Lavan," rather he says, "I'm going to work for you." Evodcha sheva shanim b'Rachel b'tcha aktana. That he covered all his, he tried to dot his I's and cross his T's to make sure that Lavan is not going to say, "Oh no, the older one is Rachel." No, it's very clear. Rachel b'tcha aktana. So first, one thing that he's saying is that Leah is bigger than Rachel because she's much older. Okay, now that is not a universal view. Some are of the opinion that Rachel and Leah were twins, like Yaakov and Leah, like Yaakov and Esav, or that they were closer in age. He is saying that they are much further apart in age. Now, of course, when you look at that, you say, then how on earth was Yaakov tricked? Well, yeah. Yaakov says 7 years, and it could be that by the time Rachel was 14, that she and Leah looked alike, or at least size-wise,
went from 7 years ago.
correct.
Right.
Okay. Now,
so according to this, she was hefty. Is that what we're saying? She was bigger.
One thing that he does say, I'm not sure if I gave you all those details, but he says that she was bigger.
Not talking by age, talking
bigger.
By size.
Size. Yeah.
Right. No, bigger. Like she was the gadola. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's I mean, he does mention that. I may have cut that out. You see the three dots?
I see the three dots.
Yeah, I guess I took that out. Anyway, by Yehav Yaakov Yisrachel, pasuk says, "Perish lo letzad Yofia," that he didn't love her because of her beauty. El letzad Mash Rachel Bazugo. Okay, because he knew that she was the right match. I once heard a speaker say that it was a really great line. He says that the love that a husband and a wife should have, or the love that a husband should have for his wife, is not, "I love you because you're beautiful," but it should be, "You're beautiful because I love you." Okay, and so that, I think, is what he's essentially saying here, that whatever Rachel looked like was irrelevant to Yaakov. She was his bazug, right? She was his beshert. Evad, whatever Basher means, I don't like that word. Anyway, Evad Chor Sheva Shanim. Tzadik Zed Yechuvan Tamid Lachni Atzmo Sheva. Okay, so Yaakov uses the number 7 to show his humility. So first he does, first he says, I'm going to work for you 7 years. Later on when he meets Esav, he bows to Esav 7 times. But Gam B'Shtachav HaYesol Achiv Sheva Amin. Usod. Where does this come from? Mishlei. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam Achrei Naflo. The Tzadik falls 7 times,
oh,
and then he gets up. Ulai. And another possibility is Shinasan Shivya Bemash Shibed Atmo Zayin Shanim Shiyotemikdei Shnei Eved Ivri. Right? It says that an Eved Ivri worked 6 years. I'm going to work 7. Okay. That assumes that Yaakov was familiar with Parshas Mishpatim, etc. Okay. So now here's where we get into the crazy stuff with Laban. Okay, with Laban. So what does Laban say to Yaakov after Yaakov makes his deal? Laban says, Pasuk Yites. Okay, page 150, 7 lines from the top. Vayomer Lavan, Tov Titi Osal Lach. It's good that I give her to you. Mititi Osal Ish Acher, for my giving her to another man. Shiva Imadi says, settled me. Okay. Vayavod Yaakov Rachel. So Yaakov worked for Rachel 7 years. Yibe Nev Kiyemi Machadim Avasosa. Okay, so they were like days, whatever, however you want to translate Achadim. We saw something cool last year, which I don't remember. Anyway. Yaakov says, give wife. Yaakov becomes a Neanderthal man. Okay, he says, give wife. Because my day is filled and I will come to her. Okay, I mean, it seems very strange. And the Aruch Chaim is going to call Yaakov on it. Like, what is with this language? And honestly, the fact that Yaakov says, Hava es ishti, opens up a door to Lavan to not give him Rachel. If Yaakov had said, Hava es Rachel bitcha ktana, right? Yaakov just assumed, obviously. But, Lavan's a Ramai. Lavan's going to jump on any misinterpretation, you open the door for him, he'll run right through you. Yeah. I know. But, nevertheless. Okay, so let's take a look what he says here. Pasuk Yites. Tzarech ladas, le'eze inyan amar kein Lavan. Why does Lavan say, tov titi o salach? I mean, what does that mean? What Yaakov says, Lavan should say, it's a deal. Right? Instead he says, better that I give her to you than I give her to somebody else. Okay?
Okay.
Why would he give her to somebody else? Second line, im acher lo yavod, if another guy is not going to work for him. V'ulai sheshiker Lavan b'zeh, that Lavan lied here. V'remez lo ki yesh acher yesh acher shibud Kemo Kain Be'ad Rachel. Okay, that he was hinting to him that there's another type of work that you're going to have to do for Rachel. Ve'od Kasha, Ech Yitzdak Lamar Titi, Lashon Matana, Kevichu Oved Bada. Why is Lavan saying, it's good, I'll give her to you, it's good I give her to you, when the fact of the matter is this is a financial arrangement. Who Oved Bada, he's working for 7 years. Shu Kudei Dema, right? That's his payment. Right? I mean, the guy who's working is getting paid that in the 6 years. So Yaakov's doing 7 years. His payment is Rachel, so there's no gift here. What does he mean, Shavai Madi? I mean, if Yaakov is going to be working for him, where else is he going to be living? So what do you mean, Shavai Madi? Nikeres Nitoch Dvorov. Okay, so we have to see is that Lavan's evil intentions are clear already, or hinted to from his words. He already had in mind from the very outset that he's going to give Yaakov Leah. And that's why he spoke to him this way. This is essentially what he's saying. Tov titi osalach amar lashon matana lishlol kein zemecher. He says, I'm going to be giving her to you as a gift. This is not a financial arrangement. Lamarlo. Lebasof, Hein osa kenisimcha, kemosh kenamar, halo brachel avanti, uchmosh aver sham ezra sashem. So he says, I'm going to say, didn't I work for Rachel? V'chash, and he suspected, she yavin Yaakov, she betoras matana, muchletes, hu nos na. Lebasof, yavo Allah betainas hava, Schar Sheva Shanim Sheavad. So Yaakov is assuming that he is working for a financial agreement. And so when he says, Hava is ishti, give me my wife, why? Because I have worked for her. So what Lavan is saying is that the work that you're working with me is that I am choosing you to work for me over choosing another guy to work for me.
This is the best thing that ever happened to you.
This is like, right, totally speaking in tongues. Okay, better that I give her to you. Who's her? Okay. And I'll choose you.
Wow.
And I'm choosing you that you're going to work for me rather than I give her to some other dude who hasn't worked for me. Ula'olam einze shivya shel Rachel. Shaveh rather, shel Rachel. That's not her value. Lo b'chinas mechu machnisa. And he's not giving her over for a price. B'yomra shvayimadi masne alav sheyeshevimo v'lo yachik nidod v'yavod mirachok el imo yeshev kol zman avodah sh'tiyenev chos alavodaso. So he's saying shvayimadi, he's basically putting a condition on him that he has to be nearby, so that Lavan could always have his eye on him, always see how he's working, always scrutinizing. Oda Erim Lamar, he also was tricky in saying, Elav, Sheshevimu Aralam, Shvayim Adi. What does Shvayim Adi mean? Shvayim Adi, forever. Right? Shvayim Adi, live with me. With no time frame commitment. Kamoshe Hisna Yisro Moshe. Doesn't have to make him swear because this is, you know, gentleman's agreement. The Yisro needed to make Moshe swear. And they made an agreement. That's why when Moshe has to go back to Mitzrayim after the burning bush, what does he do? And he asks, exactly, he has to ask permission. And that's why Lavan comes yelling at Yaakov when Yaakov runs away, because he's like, you're a ganav, you weren't allowed to leave, you had no permission. When that's why God tells Lavan, God has to tell him, you got to be careful what you say against Yaakov, because I gave him permission to leave, and I don't really care what you say. As much as Yaakov says to Rachel, you know, Achihu, right? I know how to deal with the tricky. Yaakov missed every single shtick that Lavan pulled in basically the first thing that he said to him. Okay?
Wow.
There's actually, Kidibre Lavan, Dibarame Lava Der Achiba. The way Lavan spoke to him, it sounds like he's a loving uncle. Azer Der Chulumiya Tambiti. Who am I going to give my daughter to? Tov Mimcha, who's better than you? Shevani Imadi, you stay here. Perish Kena Shimachim Anachtu. Ulevavo lo ken yachshov, and Yaakov's heart doesn't think that way. Okay, so Lavan basically is a piece of garbage, and we see it from the very outset. Okay, now we saw before that you know when I said, you know, half jokingly, that Yaakov becomes a Neanderthal man, so that's pasuk chafalif. Okay, vayomer Yaakov havatam umro veavoyla hu lashon bilti nachon letzadiko shalom. How on earth could Yaakov say, give wife so I can come to her? Okay, it's crude, rude. If a guy says you're mekudeshes, right? He betroths a woman with the work that I'm going to do, and then he does it, she's not mekudeshes. I'm not sure if it's malve. I always say malve, milove. Veham mekadesh. No, shekolas schar milve. Milva is the milva is what's being offered between the people. Mekadesh milva ain't a mekudeshes. Okay, it's something which is not tangible. Zamar hava. So Yaakov says, give me. V'atam lefi. Why does he say lefi? Why does he say hava? Lefi shelo kinisios ab mashavati. Because I know I didn't acquire her with what I did, with what I worked. V'tzarachani lekros leknosa lebia. Right, what does Mishnah say? Isha Nes?
Kesef
Shtar Babia. So there's no malacha. Yaakov is saying, I worked, that was an arrangement between you and me, but now, how am I going to acquire her as a wife? With intercourse. Shaisha niknezabia vuhumro viavoa ila ki vavoda lokona shaya milve vamakadish milve in mikudeshes. Okay, so Yaakov is saying it's my turn to take her in, and there's no other way that he can do it. What's kesef shtar? What Yaakov has no kesef. What shtar? Lavan's not going to accept a shtar. So that's it. It's just, you know, we made an agreement. Oh yomar al zederech alotim tzasham rachel alon achiros nachshav lokim mechamranu. Rachel later on, when Yaakov wants to leave, he says to she says to her husband that Leah and I have been viewed as strangers since we were sold. Because of Rambam, didn't look at Abadim and Karkos Milve, Af al Pi She'ain Adam and Mitzias Kane al Karkoch. Vomro Havas Ishti Perish Kvar Hi Ishti. Kani Sover Kar Rambam. Right? Yaakov was pulling off a Rambam on the love one. He says, the Rambam says, that's why she's my wife. She's already my wife. Umitzias Shelfanenu Din Mecher Yeshbo Kvar Zachishiba. Right? She's already mine because we made an arrangement, so she's mine. Hagam She'ain Adamim. Even though there isn't any tangible money, I'm not trying to conclude a transaction. It's already mine. It's time that we actually have in our own apartment. What he's saying, give me my wife. You've been holding my wife for some time. She's my wife. Hand her over. Okay? Vayhi be'erev. So remember how I said before that Vayhi is Lashon Sar. Pasuk of Gimel. We're now on page 5. What does Lavan do? Love Vayhi be'erev. Look at the Pasuk. Vayikach es Leah b'tov v'yaveh osa ilah v'yavoh ilah. So he brings Leah. Vayhi be'erev. Brings Leah. And Yaakov v'yavoh ilah. Remember Yaakov had said v'yavoh ilah. I will come to her. Right? I will acquire my wife through intercourse. And Yaakov does this with Leah. Now this is classic Arachai in the Kabbalist, saying that there was. Remember, who's Yaakov? Yaakov says later on in Parshas Vayechi that who was Reuven to Yaakov? Kochi, Vireshis, Oni. Okay, now everybody says that. What does that mean? That Yaakov had never had a seminal emission in his life. The first time he did was with his wife. Okay, in other words, that all the koyach and the kedusha that was supposed to come to the bechor of Yaakov, which was supposed to be deposited with Rachel, okay, went into Leah, bekedusha b'tahara, right, holiness, and all of that, because it ended up being that it was the wrong woman, okay, what's the right kind of word? It put a, I don't want to say a damper. It threw a monkey wrench into whatever this Kedusha was supposed to be. It's Elamad, Zohar says. Kize siba shnekra Kedusha sabachor, asher bo yizkav zumalchus kuhuna, v'shikel kful b'yerusha. Okay? So that whatever was supposed to, everything that was supposed to happen was supposed to be put into that bachor. Kingship, priesthood, the double portion, all that was supposed to go into that bechor, how much of that does Reuven get?
Zero.
Because of the tzar that came. Utzad amaisa shechashav yagam rachel v'asup l'sobaleya nispazru b'china sekdusha v'nechlash v'techelesh gurus hakodesh. That Yaakov is having relations with his new wife and he's thinking, I love you Rachel, I love you Rachel, I love you Rachel, and everything that we're doing, we're creating Am Yisrael here, and in the morning, he sees it's not Rachel. It's Leah.
That's wild.
Okay. And not to take away from Leah. She's...
But you have to have the
intent. Exactly. So that's the Rachel. I mean, I can't even go that route. I because that's just spheres beyond anything that I would understand. But that is, that's the direction which he goes. Okay? So, okay. All right, so take a look now later on with the part that I gave you in bold. I mean, in the previous paragraph, Achin Yaakov Yigvol Al Gibel Dvarim, Al Beis Dvarim rather, he talks about Al Maisa Shenosan Leah Makam Rachel. One thing that Yaakov was upset about was the fact that he gave Leah. The other one is Sha'asa Dar Baderech Amos, that he tricked him. But move on. Okay, because there's an element of the Ruchnius, for example, at Tzadikim, look at the last line of that paragraph. At Tzadikim, Yakpidu Lamash, Nagei, La Ruchnius, Biyoter, That's the tricking part. The tricking part is really troubling to Yaakov. But look at the next one. Odi chavein be'omro. V'lamari misani. Yaakov says to Lavan, why did you trick me? Kiyeshu z'gnai li'yoshevez b'cheiko she'tiyen esu'a b'derech ramos. He says, it's such an embarrassment to be married through a trick to a guy. Why do you think this is going to work out? Now, I mean, to Yaakov's credit, Yaakov had every right. I always wonder about this, but Yaakov had every right to say, hey, no, this is Mekachtos. Over, walk away. But Yaakov didn't do that because, I don't want to answer the because. He didn't do that. But there is a damper in this relationship. It can't ever come to a shlemus of, because on the one hand, for Yaakov, it's like, I got thrown into this in a way. And for Leah, also, it's insulting. Like, the only way you could marry Yaakov is if you were thrown under the chuppah without him knowing.
It's like saying, okay, I love you because you're my wife.
Right. Or, and I don't want to sound discriminatory, but those in those who are against, for example, affirmative action, who are against affirmative action for good reasons, they say, look, you should get whatever you get based on your merit, not based on anything else. So we don't say that you're incapable. We say that you are, if you're capable, then go ahead. Then you'll get it. If you're not capable, isn't it insulting to be given something you don't really deserve? Mm-hmm. And that's the way Leah's going to feel for her whole life. She says, I wasn't supposed to be married to this guy, but my father threw me under the chuppah, and...
threw me under the bus.
Yeah. And it's just... And that's what it is. And because Yaakov decided, she's going to be my wife, but,
And you see it by the way she names her children.
Of course, right. You see that, and you also see it from the fact that after Rachel dies, Yaakov goes to Bilhah, he doesn't go to Leah. And, and we really don't see much of Leah after the birth of Dinah. That's it. We really don't see anything. Okay, however, he does say something really incredible about Leah, which we're about to see. Okay. Hold on a second. Okay, we'll do it. Okay, so let's look at the next part where Lavan explains to Yaakov. Yaakov says, "Hey, what's going on here?" And Lavan says, "No, Yasa came in Kameh. There's a minig here, and the minig is that the older daughter gets married first." Okay, and he says, "People would not have stood for it because that's the custom here." So look at the bottom page 5. Od near kitana so yikiloya beferish b'shazatanai. That Yaakov is saying that this was not made clear at the time that we made our agreement. Shagam shalotina say Leah yitain lo Rachel. Right. In other words, Yaakov may have had it been made clear. Yaakov could have said, all right, in the meantime, that you'll make sure that Leah gets married and I'll marry Rachel. Was they in steer the minute? Right, that if Leah happens to get married in the meantime, that could be another reason why Yaakov says, hey, 7 years, buddy, 7 years. In the meantime, you marry Leah off. And then as soon as Leah gets married, then I can marry Rachel. Bimlav. And if Leah doesn't get married, then I'll wait. Came but tonight, Devar Magid, just knew about Telamina, because Yaakov wasn't saying to cancel this custom, even though there's a good chance that Lavan made it up at this moment. But let's assume for a second that's true. So what Lavan is saying is that now, when you said, bring me my wife, Chashavti, Shalaya Talmer, right? I assume that you were talking about Leia. Because everybody knows. Shameless says that you don't give away the younger one first. So you must have been talking about Leah. And so I didn't trick you. And you should have known. Without being known. You said, give me my wife, and my wife means the older daughter. And that's how Lavan gets out of the accusation. You tricked me. And the fact that you say that there's a difference between them. Lavan says that they're equal in my eyes, and I'm not going to ask for anything for you to work in order to get Rachel now, except for 7 years, because you worked for 7 years to get the first one, so no problem. Fair is fair. Or if you want to say, look, you really love Rachel, you wanted Rachel, Says, oh, you wanted Rachel? No problem. So you celebrate with Leah. You have Sheva Brachos. No problem. And after 7 days, you marry Rachel. So I'm not really holding it back from you. I'm giving her in advance. I'm trusting that you're not going to go back on your deal. I'm giving you, I'm a good guy. And that came because Yaakov said, I'm not going to get rid of Leah. So how did Yaakov not realize that Lavan might pull off the shtick? So you can say that he thought it was Lavan's duty to reveal this. He said that, why would the father, you know, pull a shtick? Obviously I'm talking about Rachel. Right, Lavan should have said, I can't marry off Rachel until Leah is married. Yaakov, you choose. Right, you can wait, or you can marry her. Right, he is exactly what he is. He's a liar, a cheat, a trickster, etc. Okay? All right. We don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm gonna share with you the really nice stuff about Leah, which the Arachayim draws out, and then we'll skip to the thing which I hinted to at the very beginning about Yaakov and the Malachim, and of course anybody who wants to go through this package on your own. I know that I gave you good stuff, so we'll leave it at that. Okay. One thing, actually, I do want to do Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Okay, so the Pasuk says that Ayar Hashem ki snua Leah vayitachas rachma v'rachel akara. Okay, Hashem sees that Leah is snua. Okay, what does snua mean? So snua, sometimes people translate it to mean hated. I don't think it's a good translation. Snua means less loved. Okay, less loved. The less loved wife. Because if she's hated, you know, then divorce her. Like, why would you keep a hated wife? But a less loved wife, that's what it is. So Yechavei Lamar, the Orachim says, Ki Hashem levado hu shiyada v'hikir ki hi snu'a lo chen hi shelo yigir shabir b'sinasa ela shahoysa choshabes she'ina ahuva levad kasher ava'er midvorea b'samuch. So he says that this idea that she was snu'a, again, whatever that means, she didn't necessarily figure out until she actually says it. I think it's with the Pasuk Lamed Gimel when she names Shimon. But Tomer ki shama Hashem ki snua nochi, Hashem heard that I am snua and he gave me this one. Vatikra Shimo Shimon. Okay, so anyway, but let's go back here. Mazal amru snua shayu omrim zo ishto shel sonei shu esav. Now, what does it mean that she's a snua? Remember, there's a whole line of thinking that Lavan's daughters were destined to marry the older one to the older one and the younger one to the younger one. So Leah was supposed to marry Esav, and Yaakov was supposed to marry Rachel. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean that Leah is a snua? Not that she was hated. That she was destined to the one that we saw in last week's Haftorah, right? V'esav sonesi, as we see in Malachi. So she was called the Sinua because she was designated to the one that God detests. Okay, so the point is that if she did not have children, that would demonstrate that she was not supposed to be married to Yaakov. And therefore, Lezev Ayivtach Rachman. So God says, everybody knows that she's Snua because she's designated for Esav. So Ayivtach Es Rachma. No, she's not designated for Esav. She's supposed to be with Yaakov. Yomro v'Rachel Akara Perish Kulei Hai V'Ulai Asir Sinasa Shezo Eni Yoledes V'Zo Yoledes. So maybe if Rachel at first is not giving birth, then the Sina or the Snua status will be removed from Leah.
Wow.
Okay? Now, the next thing that we find out is that after Leah has her first four kids, Rachel, of course, has difficulty with this. pasuk lam very lam. Vaterachaki lo yaladali Yaakov v'takeni rachel b'chosa. Rachel sees that she is not having any children, so she gets jealous essentially. Vatomer Yaakov havali banim v'mayim meisa anochi. Okay, so some point out that Yaakov said hava sishti. She says havali banim. Okay, she's also not speaking so nicely. But she's a desperate woman, right? What does it mean to be barren? What does it mean to suffer infertility? I mean, it's hard to blame Rachel for the way that she's feeling. Okay? But what the problem was, Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel, Yaakov gets upset. Hatam, look at the Orchaim. Hatam, if he should see an appear davar klala, Hashem remeis anochi. She says, if I don't have children, I'm going to die. Well, guess what happens when she has a child? She dies. It makes an impact. He does the same thing, right? He says, whoever finds your stuff, wherever you find your stuff, will not that person will die. Right, that he got angry. Birachel, right? What is supposed to say? Right, for her sake. He says, like, you know, you're basically cursing yourself. Gan lefi amra havali, she says, havali, v'lo amra hispalel alai. Right, and she didn't say, daven for me. She says, give me. Give me. Yaakov is saying, I'm doing everything I can, honey. You know, your bed is in my tent, or whatever, my bed is in your tent. So I'm doing everything I can. But she's saying, she doesn't say hispalel alai. So anyway, the whole thing happens with the dudaim, with the flowers, where Reuven gets them. It's the beginning of Revi'i, and Rachel makes an arrangement with Leah, saying Rachel says, "Give me these flowers, which are supposed to have some type of quality, whether they're medicinal, whether they are an aphrodisiac, whatever it may be." So they make an agreement. Rachel gets the flowers, and Rachel says to Leah, Lachen yishkavi machalayla tachas dudei benech. So Yaakov's with you tonight. Pasuk tes Zion, page 156, second line. Vayavo Yaakov ben asadeh. Yaakov comes in from the field. Ba'erev in the evening. Vateitze Leah lekraso. Leah goes lateitze Leah lekraso. Leah goes out to him. Vatomer, and she says, Eli tavo, you're coming to me. He sechor zechadicha v'dudei beni, because I made an arrangement, right, with my son's dudeim. Vayishkav ima balayla u. And so he lay with her on that night. Okay? Look at the Orachayim. Vateitze Leah. So some say Vateitze Leah, you know, Vateitze Leah later in Parshas Vayishlach Vateitze Dina. Mm-hmm. Okay? Leah is pretty prost the way she comes out. Yeah. Like inappropriate.
Like mother, right?
But the Orachayim has a very different perspective. He says, Tam asosukacha v'lomina musr. Levi mashavarash mitevas lachen sha'amra Rachel shehu alkein. When Rachel said, Lachen yishkavi mach, he says, therefore, she said Rachel gave her word, but she was afraid that when Yaakov came home and went to his bed in Rachel's tent, Rachel would be like, hey, here's some dudaim. You know? I know what we said, Leah, but the fact is he came to my room. But they made a deal. Well, Fimash Barashti, Lachain Shvua. He says, Lachain is a swear. Let's say Shalo Diktika Rachel Omar Halaila Hazos. What did Rachel say? L'chein yishkavi mach halayla. What does halayla mean? He'll be with you in the night. Which night? Well, it was pretty clear what it means, but Rachel can also pull the same shtick her father pulled. I didn't say this night. Okay. Because she was a zeriza in Magdimin, right, she went out and she preempted Yaakov going to the place where he shouldn't have been, because then Leah would have every right to knock on the door and say, Rachel, no, Yaakov, you're coming with me. Okay, so he says, no, she did the right thing. Oh, Yeshua says, down to Leah, he meet us chasidus. I says, look at this. Meet us chasidus. Okay, pious. Shaloi nichachi kaneso satzadik lo Rachel, but tzianu misham shait. This is the opposite. Right? This is, in a sense, payback. Remember how Rachel is so credited by not embarrassing her sister, by giving her the simanim? So Leah's not embarrassing her sister. She didn't wait until Yaakov goes into the tent of Rachel with Totsienu Misham. She would have every right to say, Yaakov, sorry, I know you came into this tent, but you're with me tonight. Ki yesh b'zak pada v'tzar gadol Rachel v'kina gadola. Because it would be so extremely painful, and Leah would have to be completely right, because they made a deal. She went out to greet him to say that's the deal that has been made. Ve'ein ze elamida tova, the chasida, the chalma gamaset shel osa tzadeg is lamid nitei neman. Right, the whole, what's her whole purpose? Why is she doing this? Because she wants to make shvatim. Hashem, the Hashem Eibedavar, and God is a witness to this. Ki nasan tzchara, gave her a reward, yachsiva yishma, God heard her, in that same pasuk, vayishma Elohim, God heard, magid shispala Hashem. So it's not only that she's doing what she's supposed to be doing to protect her sister, to protect her sister's word, to protect her sister's embarrassment, she's also praying. And so, and it's also hinted to, in the next thing, that Rachel also takes the message, pasuk of Beis, after she gives birth, after Leah gives birth to Zagar, Zvulun, Dina, pasuk Beis, vayizkor Elohim es Rachel, vayishma Elah Elohim. What do we see that vayishma Elah meant regarding Leah? That she davened. So we see that God remembers her and God listens to her. So look at the Aruch Chaim. We'll almost finish with this. Vayizkor Elohim magad hakasav ki agam shalos zichrono lefanav od hutzrucha letfila kamro vayishma Elah. So God remembers her. And also, she has to pray. God remembers what he needs to do without the crying. God remembered her, but she also davened. So, in other words, all this is hinted to in the passage. Okay, I had mentioned at the very outset that I wanted to show it to you just a cool thing about Yaakov and angels. So, take a look at the very last thing, the last couple of psukim in the parsha. That Yaakov comes back after having been in love for a long time, and it's on the bottom of page 168. So Yaakov comes back. Yaakov halach l'darko v'yitkulo malachei Elohim. Yaakov comes back and he encounters malachei Elohim, angels of God. V'yomer Yaakov kasher amachane Elohim zeh. Yaakov sees and says that this is a camp of God. V'yikrosh shem makomahu machanaim. So he called the place Machanaim. What does Machanaim mean literally? Two camps, right? Machanaim. Machanaim means two camps. Take a look. Right? Two camps. Vayivko malachim. Pashat akasavu. Pshat akasavu, rather. Liyoski chalach Hashem malachim bedmus anashim lidamos lefnei Esav kasher ochiach sofa maisa. He says that he was giving Yaakov a preview to what it means to meet a malach who comes in the form of a man. What's going to happen in next week's parsha? Yaakov is going to wrestle with an ish, and what does he need to realize?
He's been there already.
That the guy he's wrestling, who looks like an ish, is a malach. That's why when Vayarki lo yacholo, when the guy sees the malach, he can't defeat Yaakov. So he strikes Yaakov in the hip, and Yaakov says, "You can't go until you bless me." Why would Yaakov ask some random guy who he's been fighting with all night, "Give me a blessing"? Because Yaakov knew from before, from here, that Malachi Elohim come and appear in the form of man. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, so that I found to be fascinating, because it's just, you know, that's like a premonition for what's coming. And the second one is just an explanation of what it means that there are two camps. Machanaim is Pirish Beis Machanos, Echad Shal Anashav Shayu Imo, Aruch Milchama. One is Yaakov's people who are with him. V'habeis Shem Malachim Midmus Anashim, Kibol Ezra Hashem, Lidido Yaakov Bechir Hashem. Okay, that the Anashim are coming to help Yaakov, to God's beloved, who is the chosen one of God. Okay, and in other words, what this is meant to show is that Yaakov should not be afraid when the whole thing with Esav comes in next week's parsha. And of course, I think we've seen in the past that it's not so much that Yaakov was afraid of what Esav might do. There was uncertainty about what's going to happen, but not that Yaakov was necessarily afraid. Of course, the commentaries are all over the place with that. Mm-hmm. But what we see here is that Yaakov's encounter with Malachim is a training ground for what's going to happen with Esav. And I thought that was a nice idea that you never really think about, because you know, it kind of ends here, and then you see Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lufanav El Esav. Which Malachim? Where did he get them from? Okay, that's where you go.